Well, good morning, Mount Joy Mennonite Church. It's so good to be with you. Our final week of our series. How many have enjoyed this overflowing series? Come on, I've gotten so much from this series. Well, hey, I want to tell you a story, and it's about a boat and a lake in Florida. And so growing up, my dad loved boating. He was born and raised in Toledo, Ohio, so he owned many boats growing up, and he would go on Lake Erie, and he just loved boats. And so when he moved to Florida, it was a little bit of a disappointment because there's something in Florida lakes and rivers. Can anyone yell it out? What's in a Florida lake or river? Alligators, right? Alligators. In fact, I have a picture to show you. This is from this past week in Pensacola, Florida, where they got 10 inches of snow. Wild. You'll never see that. I'd never seen that until now. So once in a rare lifetime will snow happen in Florida, but there's alligators. And so my dad had this kind of fear of alligators, but he didn't let it get to him. We would buy canoes and kayaks. In fact, at one point we owned this little John boat, and my dad liked to tinker. He literally had this obsession with going on Craigslist and buying the junkiest things and thinking he could fix it up. And so we got this canoe. I think I was like 16 or 17. He got this canoe. And it was a piece of junk, by the way, terrible canoe. But he's like, hey, we're going to restore it. We're going to do like this father-son bonding time, and you know, we're going to work on it. So for over a month, we worked on this canoe. We put new rivets in the sides. We put this like clear coat around the outside. We made sure it was ready because we wanted to go fish in this lake. So we finished this canoe. We head out to the lake. We're super excited. We get our minnows and our earthworms, and we're ready to go catch some largemouth bass, right? It's the whole thing. And so we get the canoe in the water. We get our fishing gear in, and we go to sit. There's a spot at the front and a spot at the back, and we start to paddle out, and we start feeling the canoe going down. Now, how many know this is a bad thing? My dad's terrified of alligators. By the way, about 100 yards in the distance, we spot an alligator on the bank. They're just common in Florida, right? And so it starts to go down and down, and pretty soon the boat's taking on water. We're about 25 yards from the beach, and my dad's panicking at this point. He falls out of the canoe, right? I'm still in the canoe, but it's going down. And so somehow we both get out of this canoe. We were able to get it to shoreline. We lost some fishing gear. And I remember my dad just so frustrated. He's like, what did we do? We thought we built this right. We thought we had the right support system. You know, when I think about the Holy Spirit is the support system in the believer's life. He is the essence that brings the gospel of Jesus into our life. And when he fills us, he gives us this power and this boldness. And much like a canoe that has the right support system, we can easily sail through whatever life throws at us. You know, we've been in this series, and week one, Pastor Tim talked about how we discovered this hope that overflows when we trust in the promises of God, right? Romans 15, 13. If you don't know it, there's a banner in the lobby that has our verse of the year. We want you guys to remember that verse and really take it to heart. Week two, Pastor Jeremy preached this brilliant message on living water and how Jesus offers that it quenches our deepest desires, right? The woman at the well story. And last week, Pastor Tim preached on when we're embraced with the love of God, which surpasses knowledge, it actually fills us. It gives us this renewed hope, right? He had this water, kind of cascading waterfall down, and he talked about just overflowing. And when I think about the Holy Spirit, the two verses that instantly come to my mind is Acts chapter 2. Jesus has went to heaven, right? He's ascended to heaven, and he gives this promise to the believers. He says, hey, would you tarry and wait in Jerusalem in the upper room for the promise? So the disciples are there. They're waiting for the promise. Verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. I want you to take note of this because this is so important. When God oftentimes pours his Spirit out and fills his believers, it's together in unity and it's together in community. Revivals throughout history are marked by two things, repentance and usually a common sense of unity and togetherness. And so in this first pouring out of his spirit, they were together. And then it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And I want you to take note of this. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not some of them. Not only the select good guys, right? The apostles. It says all of them were filled with the Spirit. And it made me start to think the Holy Spirit is a gift from heaven for all believers. Not for some. Not for the ones that you would say, oh, I don't know if I'm worthy enough. He's for all believers. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift. I love that we say the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift. You know, in the church in the West, here in America, oftentimes the Holy Spirit is treated as a weird, distant cousin or uncle that we just don't understand. Maybe we've heard bad theology. Maybe we're just like, we don't want to go there because we've seen some kooky, wacky things. And so we just kind of treat him as a person over here that we put on a shelf rather than someone to be embraced and say, Holy Spirit, we actually need you to advance your kingdom. Like, I can't imagine walking and trying to build God's kingdom without the power and boldness of the Holy Spirit on my life. He is the essence that comes on us and fills us with a power and a love. But I think oftentimes the Holy Spirit is forgotten. He's misunderstood. And so today my prayer and hope as I was preparing this message and as we close this series out is that we would understand the Holy Spirit better, and we would maybe leave here today with a life surrendered to say, Holy Spirit, every single day of my life, I need you to fill me. I need to be rebaptized in you. I need your fire. I need your love. I need your boldness. I need your peace that surpasses all understanding. I need the hope of heaven. Francis Chan, in his book, Forgotten God, which is a book on the Holy Spirit, he says it best. He says, we need the Holy Spirit in order to live faithfully as followers of Christ. Without him, people operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. What a powerful statement. That oftentimes we get in this mode where like we can do it without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, because in a lot of ways we feel like we can accomplish this faith journey by ourselves in our own strength. And I just want to say we can't. As Francis Chan says, it will give us human-sized results. And I don't know about you, I don't want human-sized results. I want heaven-sized results. I want to see the kingdom of heaven advance in Mount Joy and in the surrounding regions where his spirit is moving and going into people's houses and setting captives free and breaking bondage and deliverance is happening. Amen. That happens when we say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. But more importantly, thank you now that I can receive the gift of your spirit. That now as a living sacrifice, as a vessel, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill these bones with power, with might? I firmly believe that not only is the Holy Spirit a gift to us as believers, but he's also the key to walking out our faith and also the renewal internally of our lives. Not only does the Holy Spirit just want to zap you with power and give you boldness, he actually wants to renew you. He wants to take the dead things that are still kind of sneaking up, right? The little roots and that are growing. He wants to come in and dissect those things out to give you life, to show you what the good life looks like. I want to give you just a brief history of my experience with the Holy Spirit, because for most of my life, he was that weird, distant person that I didn't understand, nor did I want. The church I grew up in, I grew up in a movement called Church of God, not to be confused with Churches of God, by the way, Church of God, which is historically a very charismatic Pentecostal movement, but the church I attended was not. In fact, I remember many Sundays where someone would speak in tongues or something during the service, and the pastor would actually call the ushers and have them escorted out. So he never talked on the Holy Spirit, never gave any messages on the Holy Spirit. There just wasn't this movement. So most of my life, I didn't understand this member of the Trinity. And then I had my falling away years and my teen years. And when I came back to the Lord at 18, I had a close friend who had been radically saved out of depression and anxiety. And he found himself kind of following this very charismatic movement, this kind of tele-evangelist guy. And so he would tell me these stories of people being healed and people, you know, without came in walkers and throwing their walker. And I didn't understand the Holy Spirit, so I rejected the work of the Holy Spirit. And for about a year, I would say I kind of followed in line with maybe a sensationalist viewpoint that said the Holy Spirit, yeah, he worked in Acts 2, but he's not alive and present today. My sister invited me to this a little bit more charismatic church service. And I remember the pastor giving this call of saying, hey, do you want to experience the Holy Spirit? I had this reservation in me, but there was something in the pit of my stomach that said, I need to respond. And I remember coming to the altar and just saying, Jesus, here I am. If your Holy Spirit is real, encounter me. And for over an hour, I was in this encounter with the Holy Spirit where things were moving and shifting in my life that I realized, oh my gosh, I had forgotten who this gift from Jesus is. I had forgotten that Jesus actually died not just for my sins and to give me salvation, but he actually died so the Holy Spirit could be present with his believers. I had forgotten him. I've been in ultra-Pentecostal environments where I would say I've felt the moving of the Spirit, and I've also been in those kind of environments where I didn't feel the moving of the Spirit. In fact, one of the most powerful services I ever been in was a liturgical service where I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit so strong as he was renewing believers. And so I think oftentimes when we think of the Holy Spirit, we trap him in this kind of the stylistic thing where we're like, oh, only the Holy Spirit's reserved for the Pentecostal people or the charismatic people. And that's so not true. Again, the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. And I don't know about you, but I always want to be yearning for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I never want to be trapped in just stale old faith that says, oh yeah, I got filled 50 years ago. I want to say, Holy Spirit, here I am now. Fill me with your fresh fire. Give me understanding of the things of heaven. If you're taking notes, write this down. My one and only point this morning is this. A life surrendered to the Holy Spirit is a life uniquely positioned to overflow with his presence and power. A life surrendered to the Holy Spirit is a life uniquely positioned to overflow with his presence and power. What does that mean? What does it look like? And so I just want to unpack this these next few moments. So how do we live a life in step with the Holy Spirit to overflow? Number one is this. The promise of the Holy Spirit is a gift to all believers. I said it earlier. It's not just for the select elitist or the super spiritual. It's available to all believers. In Acts 2, we see the fulfillment of a promise Jesus made to his disciples that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened on the day of Pentecost. And so in this scene, the context of Acts 2 is the disciples were waiting in prayer and the Holy Spirit descended in power and tons of fire appeared and they began to speak in different languages. This was a clear sign of God's presence overflowing onto them, right? So there's this moment where they're gathered, they're in prayer, they're in unity. Man, there's something, can I just say, there is something powerful that happens when we're gathered together in prayer. There is movement that happens in the Spirit when we join together with brothers and sisters and we just call down heaven. And so they're fasting, they're praying, they're eagerly waiting for the Spirit to come, and then he comes. And they start speaking in these different languages, and it's kind of like, I'm sure for some of them it's a little uneasy, it's a little frightening, right? It's different than what they've experienced before. And all of a sudden there's these people in the crowd when they come down from the upper room and they start hearing their own language. And God starts moving, but there's this other group of people, and I just want to say this. Anytime there's a moving of the Holy Spirit, there's two groups of people. There's people who mock and scoff at it, and there's people who yield and accept it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the mockers and scoffers side. I don't want to reject the moving of the Holy Spirit. I want to be positioned in a way that says, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm yielding to your work. I'm yielding to your presence. Holy Spirit is not reserved for a select few. Peter makes it clear that when we repent and turn to Christ, we actually receive his Spirit. So Peter says this, that when you repent and you turn your life to Jesus, there is this moment where you can say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Fill me afresh. Give me a new practical understanding. Peter actually, in the same area in Acts 2, he would go on to preach this message in front of 3,000 people. And it's actually the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verse 38, where Joel prophesies and he says, in the later days, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. Not some, all believers, right? The promise of the Holy Spirit is a gift to all believers. Number two, if you're taking notes, is overflowing with power and boldness. When the Holy Spirit fills us, he empowers us to live and to speak boldly for Christ. I've been in situations where I can confidently say without a shadow of a doubt, if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit on my life, I don't know if I would have had the confidence and boldness to declare the word of God. I've been in situations where I've prayed over a sick person, and I can confidently say, if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit, I couldn't have done it on my own accord. Right? So he comes and he fills us with this power and boldness to overflow. An example of this is Peter. Before Pentecost, how many know who Peter was? He's the guy that as Jesus is in the courts and he's being flogged and he's being beaten, Peter is approached by a little girl who says, hey, isn't that your master? And Peter three times rejects Jesus, denies Jesus. The same guy that in Acts 2 would go on to preach in front of 3,000 people about the Holy Spirit and its power is the same guy that weeks earlier was denying Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I read this, it's encouraging for me because it says, hey, I can mess up in my life and Jesus is there to welcome me home, but he also wants to empower me, right? We know that in John 21, Jesus and Peter have this kind of reconcile moment where Jesus says, hey, do you love me? He says it three times. And I believe it's a prophetic declaration to heal Peter's internal battle that he had with denying Jesus. So there's that moment of healing, but then Jesus says, hey, go wait in the upper room. He waits, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and now can boldly declare his power and strength. I think for our lives today, the Spirit actually gives us power to overcome fear, to share our faith, to live with courage in a world that often opposes the message of Christ. Right? You might be in a situation, in a work situation, where people at your work would maybe even call themselves atheists or non-believers. And I just want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit will give you the boldness and power to declare his truth to that person through actions, through words of encouragement, through gifts. I was listening to this podcast recently with John Tyson. John Tyson is a pastor, pastors this beautiful church in New York City. And he made this statement, and it's just, it's wrecked me. He said, the West has become Nazareth. That's the place where Jesus performed few miracles. We don't see power and boldness on display in the church in the West. We pray for the sick here in America, and we do not see many miracles. But a team can travel overseas and see many miracles. When I was listening to this podcast, I had to actually pause and say, Jesus, would it not be so in the Church of America? Would it not be so? Would this not be Nazareth? Would you richly pour out your Spirit? You know, I've been in places like Honduras and Bulgaria, and we've seen miracles. Our team in Honduras watched miracles happen. Watch people filled with the Holy Spirit is amazing. And I've been in church services here in America where I've prayed for the sick and didn't see it happen. And I can't explain the inner workings of why, but this is what I know. The Holy Spirit comes where he's welcomed. And I just want to say, is he welcome in your life first? But then is he welcome in our church? Is his presence welcome here? And I believe it is. As Pastor Tim shared that kind of prophetic vision of this waterfall that's just this filling. I believe God's doing a work here that's going to overflow into our community. And we're not only are we going to see many disciples, but we're going to see people healed, delivered, set free. But it starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you saying, am I yielded? Am I surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Is there any blockages? Is there maybe things I've believed wrongly about the Holy Spirit that I need to say, Holy Spirit, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me for treating you as a distant person rather than a close friend, a close relationship. I think of a cup that's being filled with water until it overflows. The overflow doesn't just stay in the cup. It actually spreads. As Pastor Tim had that illustration with the girls last week, pouring water into the vase, what happened? That water cascaded out, right? It doesn't just stay in the vase. Your life positioned to receive the Holy Spirit is not just for you. It's actually to cascade out into other people's lives, for them to sense the power and boldness on your life. Here's a question I want you to wrestle with this week. Is where in your life do you need boldness and power that only the Holy Spirit can provide? So not your wife, not your husband, not your work, not an accomplishment, but only the Holy Spirit can provide. Where in your life do you need this sense of boldness and power? Number three, is overflowing with transformation. As we just stated, right, the Holy Spirit's not just like a vending machine that we can pop a coin in and pull down a lever and get a spiritual gift and get the gift of healing. It's not just about power and boldness. It's actually about transformation. And so overflowing with transformation just simply means this. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to just give you power, but he actually wants to transform you from the inside out. Those areas in your life where maybe fear is still holding you captive, the Holy Spirit actually wants to break those chains off you, to give you power, to give you the sense of what true freedom feels like. It gives us the conviction of sin. In fact, Acts 2, verse 37, it says that when Peter was preaching, there was people that were cut to their heart. In the Greek and Hebrew, the cut to your heart actually means conviction. They were convicted when the Holy Spirit came of their sin, of their wrongdoing. And this is why I love, the Holy Spirit doesn't just convict you and, look at you, you've really messed up. He actually then leads you into a place of freedom. He shows you the steps to take to walk out and to sense the freedom and calling and the identity on your life. I believe this too, though, that the transformation the Holy Spirit wants to give in us that overflows to others is the fruit of the Spirit. Right, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 reminds us of the character transformation the Spirit produces. I don't know about you, but I need all these. I need love. I need joy. I need peace. I need patience. Man, do I need patience. I need kindness. I need goodness. I need faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know how I position myself to receive those? You know how you position yourself? It's just simply saying, Holy Spirit, there's areas in my life where these fruits are absent. I need more of your love. Man, my life is chaotic. I need more of your peace. And so we position ourselves by yielding and surrendering and saying, here I am with all my baggage and junk. Holy Spirit, come fill me. Come fill me until I overflow. I want you to imagine a dry sponge dropped into a bowl of water. I think we have a video to illustrate this. So a cleaning sponge you clean your sinks with. Imagine that dry sponge and you tried to clean dishes with a dry sponge, would it actually work? No, you need water, right? That sponge needs to be soft and pliable to be able to scrub the grease off. And our life is similar. When we don't have the Holy Spirit, man, we're dry. But the Holy Spirit filling us actually makes us more pliable so that God can start molding us into the men and women he wants us to be. Lastly, number four. As I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to overflow to others. Man, he wants this. He wants this in our church. He wants this in our jobs, in our family. We've been talking this entire series about overflowing to others. And today, it really starts with saying, God, I actually need your Spirit in me so that I can overflow to these people around me. The Spirit-filled life is not just for our benefit. The overflow of the Spirit in us impacts those around us. I love that Peter, after experiencing the glory of the upper room, I don't know about you, but I often think about that moment where there is a rushing wind and the Spirit descended with fire. And I have this moment of just like, God, I want to be there. I want to be positioned in the same manner that those early disciples in the upper room. I never want to harden my heart. I never not want to believe in the miracles and the works that you want to do. I want to position myself. Peter would go to preach to 3,000 people, right? The thing that he received, the miracle, the gift, the comforter in the upper room, he didn't just keep it for himself. He could have. Right, as a church, we could receive the Holy Spirit and we could just come in here every Sunday and worship our guts out and say, Jesus, thank you for all you're doing. And we could leave this place never overflowing to a single person. But God actually calls us to do the opposite. I believe when we join together in this place on Sunday, it's a celebration of what God's done in our life during the week. And it also is a place for us to yield and surrender to his working, so that when we leave through those doors and we get in our car today, everywhere we go, just imagine like a giant bucket of water, right? If you've been to Hershey Park, you've been to their water park, there's a giant bucket of water that it dumps every, like, I don't know, 10 minutes, and it just floods the area. God wants that same thing for your life. Everywhere you go, trickles of the Holy Spirit, measures of the Holy Spirit, that we would be a church that prays and yields to his working. Our mission today is when we're filled with the Spirit, we become witnesses to this world. The early church, because of the day of Pentecost, because of the upper room, and because of them being filled with the Spirit, went on to preach the gospel all over the world. The church actually historically spread like wildfire. It wasn't Nazareth. It wasn't the place where few miracles happened. Many miracles happened. Paul would find himself in places like Athens, where there's philosophers and people who try to understand God through just head knowledge. And he would preach the gospel, and there would be people there that would receive the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit is someone to be experienced. And so this is my challenge for us as a family this coming week, is that we would ask the Holy Spirit to show you someone who needs to experience his overflow through you this week. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, family member, brother or sister. Who's someone that you would say, man, they need the overflow. They need to experience the power, the presence of his Spirit. As we conclude service day, this is what I felt in my heart. And it's so cool how God lines things up in the week. The pastors were meeting and I was sharing the message with them and just trying to get us all on the same page. And I said, every time I prayed about today, I had this vision of our church just coming to the altar in a moment of surrender and just yielding and saying, God, is there anything in me that's not of you? Here it is. And Holy Spirit, would you come? And I told Pastor Jeremy, I said, hey, the song I've had on my heart is I think it's a call to salvation song, but I really like it. It's I Surrender All. And he's like, well, it's actually in the lineup. I'm like, well, there we go. Holy Spirit's already speaking. I didn't even know it. I love that song. And I just felt like today, if you're able in body and if you feel comfortable, maybe it's a step of boldness for you in a second. I'm going to invite everyone to stand, and then I'm actually going to come off the platform and I'm going to find myself at the altar with you. But I just want to invite our whole church forward, just as a time of yielding, a time of surrender, a time of saying, Holy Spirit, there's some blockages that I need to give up. And I just really believe this, God's going to honor our yielding and our surrender in this place, and there's going to be something that happens. And so as the team gets ready to lead us, would you stand to your feet? Just wait on the Holy Spirit for a moment. broken vessels, lives that don't look pretty, but because of Jesus, because of his work, he's put us back together. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come minister in this place. I know there's people in this place who need a touch of heaven, who maybe are sick in body, who are struggling with bouts of depression and anxious thoughts. And Holy Spirit, you